hello, my lovely podcast friends. How are you doing? How's your life going on? All right, it is the second day at the podcast of the show of this week, and the week is already at its end. So I'm just wondering, how are you doing and how's life going on? I am finalizing my 2018 Outlook report. It is for free on hofprofit.com/2018. So get your chance. And first, we have a small... First, we'll have a quick look back at what happened yesterday. As you know, I had a chat with someone of the local government and someone of the police, and it was all about the issues that happened this year. Yeah, well, this year was really, it sucked. I talked about it in my looking back, and we had some publications about it. So you can always have a look at it and just see what happened. And then if you don't like this, and I have a clear advice for you, leave Eindhoven or socialistic governments with incompetent bureaucrats and lazy drunk politicians as soon as possible. I will not say that they're all drunk and incompetent, but if you see that government employees are failing to keep up their promise and their word, then I'm just wondering, why are they taken into positions at the first time? But hey, I would say that always there are a lot of things that they need to fix there. And what I consider the most interesting there is that we have an elder man, Marianne Schurz. He is from the Social Liberal Party, the Dutch way, of the European meaning of liberal, D66. She is really from design and all those things. And I completely disagree with her on a lot of things, but we have a high respect for each other because we were one of the... because basically she solves problems. I once joked to her from, well, isn't it not better to not have the problems at all in the first place? But at least he is doing something, and you see that the local newspaper is pushing everything out negative that there is around her. And there is a lot of negative things that you can publish about her, but the really big problem in Eindhoven at the moment is the social part, the healthcare part. I mean, they spend there 1 million more a week than they get in, and no one is talking there. So I'm just wondering, why is the Eindhoven Daily active in political suicide missions and avoiding this big problem? I mean, for me, it's easy what the problem is. They spend too much, they are incompetent, they have an elder man who doesn't have a clue what he is doing, they don't know how to balance a budget. Hey, that's what you get when you get socialism. That's a great... Socialism is a lovely system, so long you have OPM or other people money. And what you need to think is, need to realize is, this is an organization that sends armed people and doesn't live up to their words. And that's at the moment that happened, and I am taking revenge, and I made my own conclusions, and I try to sort out and solve the current issues, the sooner the better, and if I can do it without getting hurt. And based on a Freedom of Information Act request that I submitted, I don't think that there is anyone in the city of Eindhoven that's really liking me. They don't like me. And there's no problem, because they don't have to be my friends. So, with the high chance that we're going to get a final and ultimate solution that's workable and doable for me, I would say let's close the door to the past and look into 2018. Social media is here. Facebook, Snapchat, Twitter, Weibo, blogging, LinkedIn, Swan, Google+. But how to use them in your advantage? Get yourself the Social Media Export course. It's the smart point to use all social media in your advantage without burning all your time. Hofprofit.com/SMM. I say Hofprofit.com/SMM.
Yeah, and if you're looking at 2018, then I think that there are a few key sectors that we can make most money out of it. Definitely the first one is real estate. The second one are the soft commodities and the hard commodities. The soft commodities, there are some issues on the broader scale and some really big problems that are not going to be solved, and that means profit opportunities. On the field of shares, I'm not really that optimistic about shares, and the reason is easy. The current central banking policies of quantitative easing means that there is a bubble, money is looking for a return, and they flood and they go into everything. This will end, this will collapse, the central banks cannot do it, and the question is how to move on. And what you're seeing now in Japan is that, just as an example, the central bank is becoming a big shareholder in a lot of companies. Do you really like the central bank to stimulate the economy buying up shares? And I'm just wondering, who's the ultimate buyer? So if they exit this program, then who is going to buy it? And on the exit strategy and how great those systems work, then you need to look at what happened in Japan. because they are doing this for now almost 30 years, and for almost 30 years it didn't work. And I am just wondering, if it didn't work for 30 years, why would it work after 35 years? So this will go wrong, and this will go bad, and that's no problem. That means that you should be positioned on the side to benefit from it. So let me think. First of all, the commodities, because they are most yummy and grateful to do. I will start with the soft commodities, and there are a few soft commodities that I'm extremely optimistic about, and the biggest one I'm optimistic about is rice. Yeah, rice. Rice is the main food for the majority of the people in the world. So that means that countries will fall, and countries will end, regimes will change when the rice is down. So this is one thing. A lot of major rice exporters are already rice importers. So there is a global demand. More and more people are eating rice. If you look at the West, just how much rice we are eating compared to 50 years ago, the popularity of sushi, which means that some rice is going to be grown from it. So that's one thing. And the other side thing is, and this is why pollution is important. To get 1 kilogram of rice, you need 7 kilograms of clean water. Well, if you're living in the West, in the Western world, then clean water is something that you take for granted. It's normal. But it also means that if you want to increase your profits, you simply need to poison the water and you get it done. And this is a really, it is a really sad, it is terrible, it is cynical to look at it, but there is not enough rice in the world, there's not enough clean water. Clean water is the big thing, but there is a big problem. How can we make money out of it? I mean, what we could do, and this something that I really hope that's going to happen, is that at around the biggest polluted rivers, like the Yangtze River, and I'm definitely sure that the Chinese government will do whatever is best to clean up the mess, but what you can do is clean the water, and the metals and the poison that you find in it, reuse it. I mean, I would really hope that they would do this, and then for the next 5 or 6 years, open one water cleaning facility a day. And start at the biggest polluted areas and build it up from there. And if you could do that, and slowly on you will get the change. And then, yeah, definitely they have to drop the, to reduce the pollution. But that's going to take some time, and take it step by step. And sincerely, I just think take it step by step, because that's the best way to go. We can say that we want an ultimate, all-functioning, all-working plan. Yeah, that's going to be great. It would be great, but it would also mean that we need to study for 5 to 10 years what the plan is. And I'd rather have some small action here. If you look at the plastic soup, I mean, you could say that recently I had a debate with some people, and they were telling me why what we are doing with the plastic soup is not working, because it's not going, not, it's not quick enough, not fast enough. And my idea is more, let's start. Let's start. You can say that there are good things, you can say there are bad things. Let's start on what's happening. No offense, let's start with a small step. Yeah, okay. We don't get the pollution out of the world, but if we could get the plastic soup in the Indonesian rivers to be changed, if we could get the plastic soup in the middle of the ocean to get out, if we could get the pollution in all the rivers in Asia and Eastern Europe, if we would be capable of solving those parts and taking small steps, just a step, no big step, take a baby step. A baby step a day, that's what I would go for. But, and if you want to buy rice, I know in the past there was an Liechtenstein incorporated company who was offering a relatively easy contract and method to invest in it. But you can always look at the Chicago Board of Trade and Mumbai. There are the, that are the two biggest rice markets, but it's highly speculative, and you really need to understand it. To give you an idea, if you want to do this yourself, go have a look at the typhoon season. Go have a look at the rainfall. Those are the things that you need to understand. And you need to monitor it, because this has implications on your returns. And it is for you that you need to realize it. But I think that you can. It is one of the best things. And I would sincerely say, go for it. And, well, that means that it's time for us to look at the... because this is actually, this is the only soft commodity I'm really enthusiastic about. And then rice, because you can easily invest in it, and clean water, because it is the big thing. And there we could look at technology and innovative companies who are solving it. And that means we can have a look at the hard commodities.
The Brexit is here. Article 50 is triggered. The talks are going on. Unprecedented change will happen. We know this, we know things for certain. The Brexit is a profit maker, at least if you are open for making some money. Get yourself the profitable Brexit report. It explains how the Brexit could happen, the economic fundamentals. Finally, also a few great methods to make some money on the Brexit. So, are you a profit maker? Are you someone that's open-minded when it comes to making profits? Check hofprofit.com/Brexit.
Yeah, and then it's time for, as I said, promise to you the hard commodities, the gold, silver, and all the other yummy things. First of all, let me begin with the gold thing. Gold is likely to go up in the next year, I think. And the reason is easy. First of all, you will get more and more people who distrust the current monetary system. This mainly due to the central banking policies, the high government debts, and especially the West. And the fact that ultimately more and more people, you see it slowly happening, more and more people are realizing that the historical value, which is as the IMCAS, is already great. I mean, if you... The great thing with the inflation and gold is that gold is keeping up with inflation, so it's not really a great investment, it's a good insurance policy. And for all the hard commodities that I'm really happy about and I love and definitely going to go into deep, and there's a big problem. There's not enough mining capacity. We are not investigating enough mines, we are not building enough mines, so all those things are we not doing what we are supposed to do. And that means that there is a physical shortage, and that's great. Gold is more and more being used by the Chinese government as a method of payment for oil delivery. And you see that Saudi Arabia is now talking even about a settlement. Angola did it. Russia is using this method to start increasing gold supplies. And I do think that you need to look at it and get your hands on some physical gold to begin with. That's the first thing. Get physical gold. Because the current monetary system is doomed to collapse, and then you are there and you'll have something. The second thing that we need to have a look at is then silver. And silver is, in my opinion, the bargain of the century. And this is for an easy reason. We need silver in an industrial uses, like gold. We have a physical shortage. And I talked earlier about it in the podcast, but it's maybe good to show it again. Trump promised his voters a wall to keep rapists, murderers, and bad people out. Well, that's his goal. That's great. He's going to finance it by putting solar panels on it. In the solar panel, you have silver. So, with already a physical shortage for the industrial uses of silver, this is going to be in tremendous demand. It will be good for clean technology, and let's face the fact, the Republicans are launching a really big initiative and a really big project to produce green energy. Well, the party who's big in Texas went for green energy. Who said that? Sounds, if I would say to you that 10 years ago, you would say that I'm a lunatic and I was escaped from the mentally ill hospital. But that's no big issue. So with that side, with silver, it is great, but you have to look at, in most countries in the world, you are not subject to pay VAT if you buy gold. But for silver, with gold you don't have to pay the VAT, but for silver it's likely you have to. So you need to check this out. For example, in the Netherlands, if you buy a silver bar, you are taxed with VAT. If you buy silver coins, you're not taxed VAT. So that is a great reason why you need to get silver coins. And if you are doing so, don't put on the social media that you are having gold or silver. Just arrange a safe location to drop them in, leave them there, it's safe. And it's just that it's a great investment, but it's not. And what the interesting part is, then another metal that people don't realize is copper. Copper. We have a physical shortage of it. We need it in wind turbines, which we are building a lot, especially in Asia. Are they building them at the hundreds? We need them in the electric mobility. We need them for Teslas and all those cars. So why not? And we are not mining enough. So we're not looking for mines. So this is gonna be great. And the reason that I say it's going to be great, because it's all the big problem, and it's with all the hard commodities, it's an easy problem. We are not, we didn't do enough research, we didn't went for the mines research, we are not finding enough to replace the what we're getting out. And it's a bit like, if you're a snake who eats himself, is never going to grow big. But it is a speculative market, and it could be really good. And then what the great thing is with copper is that you are still moving on, and we all governments want wind turbines, you need copper. All governments want electric cars, you need copper, and all those things. Copper is being used in it in a lot of things, and there's a physical shortage, once again, not enough mining capacity, and with all those shortages we can simply move on and generate what we need, and that means profitability. Well, then I go to the last metal that I am extremely enthusiastic about. It is, in my opinion, the metal of the century. Uranium. Uranium. You need it for every lunatic needs it for his atomic bomb. If you want a nuclear power plant, you need it. And this is the interesting part. Uranium is only a few percent of the operating cost of a nuclear power plant. That means that you will buy whatever it is, because let's say it's 3 to 4% of your plant. Well, that means that it's a small cost. The biggest costs are the financing of the interest and the payments of the loan. Because an average power plant costs over $1 billion. Well, if you look that we are building in Asia the nuclear power plants by the hundreds, that in Europe they are buying, especially in the United Kingdom, the Belgians need to decide what they're going to do with their old nuclear power plants. Are they going to replace it with another energy source, and which is it, and from who are they done depending, or are they building new power plants? But then we're already talking about 20 new power plants in Belgium alone. That would be a great boost for the nuclear industry in the Benelux. And actually, if you look at it, nuclear power is really safe, it's really clean, and in the past we used nuclear weapons for the source for uranium. And at the moment we are no longer doing it. We decided that it's time to build more nuclear weapons. So that means that we have a higher demand for more nuclear resources, for the same nuclear resources with more power plants than needed. Well, if you say then, and then we have the big elephant in the nuclear energy world is Kazakhstan. If you look at Kazakhstan, they are the biggest uranium producer in the world, by far. The rest of the world is unable to match Kazakhstan if you combine it. So that's it. That means that basically that Russia and China are controlling the biggest uranium supply of the world. Well, that's something that no one talks about when we talk about energy dependence, but this is something that I would freak about if you are worried about energy dependence, and I'm not really worried about it, because as much you need them, they need your money, so that's gonna work. But what you're gonna see is that the production of physical uranium, just the physical tonnage out, is down. Down, down, down. We are already having a physical shortage, and the biggest supply source is going down in production. Well, and what for the Western world is the interesting part, if I look at other big supply sources, Australia and Canada, they all have long-term contracts. So that's all going to India and China on a really long-term contract. And the uranium that you get out of the ground, you can't simply drop it into a nuclear power plant. Like, so it's not that easy like it was in the James Bond movie, The World Is Not Enough, where they try to blow up a town with a nuclear meltdown. Which, by the way, if you want to go do something terroristic, I wouldn't make it that tough. I would simply go to Chernobyl and grab some dust from the ground and you're already there. It's not that tough. But what you need to realize is that to get the uranium from the mine ready for the power plant, for the nuclear power plant, you need to enrich it. To enrich the nuclear uranium, you need an enrichment facility. Half of the enrichment capacity is in Russia. No one is building enrichment capacity because it's really tough to make money out of it. And we are not. No one is really happy about the enrichment capacity, because you can enrich nuclear power for atomic bombs or for peaceful energy. And this is what the big fuss with Iran is about, and yes, of course, I'm supporting Israel in it, that makes sense. I support people with brains, and the Israelis are the ones with brains, and they are the only democracy, and they gave me a passport. Also not really unimportant. So, with that side, it is on the energy field. Yeah, it is the big thing. I think that those resources are the big thing. I will write about all four in a report and release them over the next months. And it's just that I say I want to really share the knowledge, give you the graphics, and check it out. And don't forget, if you want to get the free report, check out hofproffer.com/2018.
All the listeners love to making some money, but you will have to pay tax upon your money. But that's to change. You can save on your tax Pay no tax. Completely legal. Start earning more money so you can take care for your beloved ones. So you can travel visa-free. Get yourself the tax-free passport. Get yourself the starting point to a tax-free lifestyle. A lifestyle which is an ultimate freedom. HofProfit.com/passport. I say HofProfit.com/passport.
Yeah, and that means that it's time for the last outlook of the show, and I have an outlook about real estate. I'm really supportive of real estate. I do think that every investment portfolio needs physical real estate. And there is a reason for it. It gives you the cash flow that you need to support your living costs, and that's what your goal with real estate should be. Just have the cash flow. That's the key thing for me. On the side, I will begin with Eindhoven. I am really positive about the market. There is a big risk because we have a really extreme low interest rate. So if you buy, then I strongly suggest that you, one, seek regulated advice. Two, get yourself, if you borrow the money, get it fixed for a really long period and start repaying the loan or putting money aside for the repayments. But on the general side, the reason that I am a bit worried about it is that the economy of Eindhoven is really depending on a few companies. You have the government, who is technically bankrupt, so that's not really gonna go well. And then we have two public traded high-tech companies, ASML and NXP. And we have the publicly traded Paccar division, DAF, this is a truck making, and we have a bus making thing. Those four are the key sectors for the economy, and you have a lot of small companies who supply to them. But these are the companies who bring the few thousand high-paying jobs in that you need in the society. And China want to build up its knowledge sector. So who says me that Huawei, which is said to be have close ties to the Chinese Secret Service, is not simply gonna buy it? NXP is gonna be bought. It's gonna be delisted. And the owner is gonna have to pay, is paying a fortune for it, so they have to reduce costs. Well, I think the head office will go down, the R&D will go down. Hey, wait, all NXP activity in Eindhoven is gone. So that's a sad thing, because it means a few thousand high-paying, really smart people are gone. If you look at ASML, I do think that sooner or later a Chinese company is gonna buy the company. The company is public traded. It's worth a lot of things, and there's nothing to do against it. And what they can say then is, well, one, we want you to build an ASML in China. Two, we are shutting down the operations in Europe, China, and we're gonna move the operations to China. And this gonna mean basically that the high tech sector is dead, and this is a risk no one talks about. No one says that. People, but I once had a debate with an old elder man of economic affairs, and he said that this is not gonna go happen, can happen. And I was just asking why. All you need is the money. Just, I mean, if someone says, I want to buy ASML, I give you the double price for one share, they are gone. And if the company simply says, well, we support the Brexit, the head office goes to the United Kingdom, the research goes to China, and we could do the production of our services in Finland. Well, what's left for Eindhoven? Europe has something, everyone has something. But if you look at this as a risk, but on the real estate side, on the upside and the positive sides, Eindhoven has a big advantage. It has a technical university, so there's an ongoing demand for young people seeking knowledge and talking. There are a lot of, just below university, you have a lot of educational fields, and I believe there are over 25,000 student positions from after high school to graduation that are filled every year. So you have an ongoing flow of young people, you have a bankrupt government, and this is gonna mean likely that there remains demand. And the great thing is, and you always should look at supply and demand, there is not that much room anymore for new housing. If you look at what I always was worried about and shocked that was happening, the city of Eindhoven has shares in a project around the Eindhoven airport. It's a regional airport, so that's also a plus thing. There is a regional airport which could bring in tourists who are basically, you know, why do tourists go to the Netherlands to go blow and to go to a coffee shop to get hard drugs and visit a hooker? That's basically it. Nice tourists, you're gonna spend a lot of money. Yeah, well, okay, but they have an industrial park around it, and the city says we are gonna sell that ground, but they, for already 8 years, they don't have any ground, but they budget that they are selling the ground, and this is a problem. And you see that the city, they are trying to do other projects to make up with the money, but I would simply say, stop property developing. It would be handy. And on real estate side, what I, if I would go for a property in the Netherlands, then I would sincerely say make it a student home, because students it or put it on Airbnb or Booking or something like that, because it is generating the highest cash flow. And so that's one thing. On the other side, I personally I'm really positive about real estate in Cape Verde, Gibraltar, and Singapore, and the reasons are easy. You have a physical limitation. Cabo Verde is really tourism driven, but it's also affordable. So you can buy big, beautiful sea view, four bedroom apartments in a safe area for less than $100,000. So that's gonna get you out. And in Gibraltar, you have the great thing, it is British. It's a British territory. I don't think for a second that the Royal Navy will leave it. And the reason I think that they're not doing it is that the Royal Navy is capable of closing down the Mediterranean Sea, so they can close down the Med. Well, that's handy. And because it's a small part, you really limit the supply and demand. So that means that the prices are really high and going up. And if you want to live there, you have to be creative. For example, what I'm doing, I'm looking at some opportunities there. And they are only accessible if you are disabled. Hey, that's handy. I am partly sighted, so side effect, if I would have good eyesight, I would have to move. Well, if I have to worry about that thing, then I will start worrying about other things, because that's not going to happen. And Singapore, the great thing about that is, it's what I like in general, is really limited demand, really diverse economy, and also that the government of Singapore is communistic, at least in name. They are using with common sense. So with that, I'm going to leave the show for today. Tomorrow we have the last outlook, and then we're going to talk politics, petrodollar, Saudi Arabia, Iran, Israel, war, and more of the fun things. So let me know what you think about it. Please feel free to repost, share, and like it, and leave your comment below. You can tweet me at LoudBackOff or leave a comment on SoundCloud.